All right, I'd like to call the meeting in order. Can we have a roll call?
Yes, sir. Mr. Bradbury, Mr. Carter, Mr. Watkins, Mr. Hollinshead.
Here.
Mr. Height. Ms. Dugal, Mr. Cordero, Mr. Harris.
Here.
Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Ms. LeBlanc.
Here.
And Mr. Segura.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Item 3 is approval of the April 12, 2017 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved
by Mr. Arnold and seconded by Ms. LeBlanc. Any public comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. Item 4 is the staff reports, the lease review report presented by Jason Talbot and Charles Bradbury. Good morning.
Good morning. Chairman, members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review report today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,341 active leases covering nearly 560,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 95 leases covering approximately 50,000 acres for lease maintenance and development. And today we have one lease discussed in more detail today, that being State Lease 195C, Quarantine Bay Field, operated by Cox Operating LLC. Committee last reviewed this lease on May 11, 2016, and the board adopted committee's recommendation to accept Cox report and grant Cox until April 8, 2017. To report on their continued development on the lease. By letter dated April 11th, 2017, Cox submitted their annual report, which included information such as, while awaiting a rise in commodity prices in 2016, Cox concentrated on maintaining a stable production on the lease and keeping pipeline and production equipment in good working order. 2016 recompletions and workovers included a recompletion performed on the State Lease 195QQ number 43 well, a workover performed on the State Lease 195QQ number 36 sidetrack. Cox spent approximately $1.6 million, but it resulted in 200 barrels per day addition to the lease. The State Lease 195QQ number 149 well was placed back on production in 2016, but was struck by a barge shortly thereafter, requiring a spill response. Cox spent approximately $1.7 million in correcting that incident. Since the last report, Cox has expanded its staff, allowing for a continuation of field studies with hopes to identify new recompletions and new prospects on the lease. Plans for 2017 include 3 workovers on the lease with an estimated cost of $2 million, redrill of the State Lease 195-149D to capture what remaining reserve exists. Staff is recommending accepting Cox report and is requiring Cox to evaluate a specific acreage as outlined in the attached Exhibit A of this report. Within 6 months, Cox must present a viable oil and gas prospect over Exhibit A acreage to the staff or release that acreage.
All right, any questions, discussion?
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Secretary Harris to approve the staff's recommendation. Any further questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Is that everything?
I have just an update, informational update for the board. As part of our GOSEP playbook preparation of hurricane season, we annually send out a memorandum. That one went out this year. It provides instructions to the industry in the event God forbid, we would actually have a problem or they would have a problem, they would understand how to go through reporting a force majeure to us, notifying us and such. And that information's on the website, and a copy of the memorandum was placed in your folders. And that's it.
Great. Thank you. Everyone can review it if you would like. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Now we have the nomination track report presented by Mr. Emil Fontenot.
Good morning. Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise 27 tracks in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the May 11, 2016 mineral lease sale, this office received 18 nominations for advertisement. A letter of protest from the Cockrell Foundation and Cockrell Investment Partners, LP, dated May the 5th, 2017, requesting that tracks 44721, 44723, 44724, 44725, 44727, and 44728 be withdrawn from today's lease sale. Staff is going to recommend that the aforementioned tracts be withdrawn. This land covered, the lands covered by tracts mentioned above are claimable water bottoms subject to the freeze statute, a common name known for revised statute 301115. You have that statute in your binders. Briefly, where the change occurs in ownership of land or water bottoms as a result of the action of a navigable stream, the new owner of such lands or water bottoms, including the state of Louisiana, shall take the same subject to and encumbered with any oil and gas and or mineral lease covering and affecting such lands or water bottoms and subject to the mineral and royalty rights of the lessor in such lease. Cockrell has provided this office with a 1928 oil and gas lease with Gulf Oil Refinery of Louisiana and amendments thereto, and a sworn affidavit of production that the 1928 lease has been in effect to present date. Again, we recommend that those tracts mentioned be withdrawn from today's lease sale.
All right. Do we have any questions?
I have one question. Were there any bids received on these tracts?
No, sir, there weren't.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Hike.
Mr. Fontenot, could you give us just kind of a brief explanation of that statute? Really, what does it mean?
If there was 100 acres of water bottoms adjacent to a water body and 50 of the 100 acres eroded, and that 100 acre tract had a lease on it, and it was in effect through the erosion of the 50 acres, that 50 eroded acres is state water bottom subject to that lease, the freeze statute. So once that 1928 lease goes away, those water bottoms that is being claimed by the 1928 lease then becomes the property of the total property, the mineral rights in, as well.
Comes property of the
state. Of the state, yes.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? I'd like the record to reflect that Mr. Emil Cordero is here. So, if not, do we have a
make a motion for staff's recommendation?
Approve the staff's recommendation. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any questions or discussion from the public? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
29 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the July 14, 2017 mineral lease sale or pending approval by the board for advertising. For the July 13, 2016 mineral lease sale, this office received 2 nominations for advertisement. Staff recommends that they be given authority to advertise the said nominations received at this office for the July 14, 2014 mineral lease sale.
All right. Do we have a motion to approve the staff's recommendation to advertise move. Those tracts?
Move.
Moved by Mr. Hike. Second by Secretary Harris. Any public comment? Not all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
That completes the items.
Mr. Great. Thank you. And now we will have our audit review by Ms. Rachel Newman.
Good morning.
Morning.
As of April 30th, 2017, Fields audit collections totaled $1,009,102. This included $684,307 in exceptions, $85,519 in interest, and $239,275 in penalties. During the month of April, two audits were engaged and one audit was closed. The current number royalties collected in April of 17 totaled $17,343,632. Fiscal year to date totaled $172,082,705 as compared to the same time last year, which was $185,625,726. Monthly reports submitted in April totaled 332. This included 122 reports for oil, 161 for gas, and 49 for plant products. The only item on the report today is a staff report to the board that the election for May 2017 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Tax Code Global Settlement Agreement.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. Is any questions or comments?
I do.
Mr. Hyde.
How many auditors are you lacking presently in your division?
Right now, I have four vacancies in field audit.
Right.
And, yeah.
Are there in field audits?
In field audit.
And?
And I have one vacancy in the royalty reporting section.
So that's really five auditors. What is the average salary of these auditors?
It ranges in the 40,000s.
About 40,000. So if the budget permitted you to hire these five, it would be approximately 40,000 times five, $20,000 or so?
For salary only, not related benefits, but for salary only.
And how much more would be included for related benefits? Just an estimate?
I'm not quite sure. I haven't looked at that in a while. I'm not quite sure.
Can you give this board a written estimate of what it would cost to fill these five vacancies?
I can do that for next month if you'd like.
Yeah, that's what I'm. For when?
Before the next meeting.
Can you do it before then? I mean, if those of us that are interested in making sure that you have the staff that you need, we probably need to get this information before then so that we try to assist the department to include the funding for that process.
Mr. Hyde, just for round back of the envelope calculation purposes, you can basically use a multiplier of 1.5. The actual is a little bit lower than that. But just for, you know, if you're talking 200,000 for four positions, it would, you could count on the total number being 280 to 300.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that's good enough. That's what I wanted to know. Do you have any others that may be on the cusp of retiring or quitting?
I do have some that are retirement eligible. Whether or not they intend to retire, I can't say. I'm not sure. One, two. Two, I think, are retirement eligible right now. And I think I have at least five that will be within the next 2 to 3 years.
You won't have a department. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Discussion? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We will now move on to legal and title.
Item number one is a request for final approval of the following lease amendments between the State of Louisiana through the State Mineral and Energy Board and Upstream Exploration LLC, amending State Lease Number 2148 in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, noting that the current annual rental payment of $8,418 applicable to each of years 1, 2, and 3 of the current primary term shall be increased to $16,836 for the fourth year of the primary term, and the current royalty percentage of 22.5% shall be increased to 23% from August 13, 2017 through the remaining life of the lease. State Lease Number 21476, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, noting that the current annual rental payment of $2,208 for years 1, 2, and 3 of the current primary term will remain the same, $2,208 for a 6-month of the extended primary term, and the current royalty percentage of 22.5% shall be increased to 23% from August 13, 2017 through the remaining life of the lease. State Lease Number 21474, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, noting that the current annual rental payment of $17,112 for years 1, 2, and 3 for the current primary term will remain the same, $17,112 for the 6 months extension of the primary term, and the current royalty percentage of 22.5% shall be increased to 23% from August 13, 2017 through the remaining life of the lease. And finally, State Lease Number 21473, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, noting that the current annual rental payment of $15,732 applicable to each of years 1, 2, and 3 of the current primary term shall be increased to $31,464 for the fourth year of the primary term, and the current royalty percentage of 22.5% shall be increased to 23% from August 13, 2017 through the remaining life of the lease. The board granted authority to Upstream Exploration LLC at the April 12, 2017 meeting to extend the primary term for the aforementioned leases as stated above in resolutions 17-04-006, a copy that is within your binder. Further particulars being stipulated in State Lease Numbers 21481, 21476, 21474, and 21473 are in the instruments listed on today's docket as items 17-01, 17-02, 17-07, 17-08, 17-09, and 17-10, respectively. These items have been duly advertised, and staff deems it to be in the best interest of the state and recommends that final approval of the execution be given by the board for these lease amendments.
Right. Anyone have any questions or discussion on item one? Do I have a motion to approve staff's recommendation? Oh, Mr. Hike has a question.
Oh.
Oh, you want to make a motion to approve staff's recommendation?
Second.
Second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment? Yes, sir. Could you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is Jeff Lieberman. I'm here representing Upstream Exploration LLC, and I'd just like to say that we greatly appreciate the recommendation of the staff of the Office of Mineral Resources in supporting these lease amendments, and we've enjoyed working with them.
Great. Thank you very much. All right. All in favor of approval? All against? Motion carries. Item two.
Yes, sir. It's a request by OMR staff to the State Mineral and Energy Board for a 1-month extension to properly advertise operating agreement with Solar Energy Resources, LLC, covering unleased state acreage in Vernon and Rapides Parish, Louisiana. Authority was granted at the February 8, 2017 board meeting to negotiate with Solar for operating agreements covering former state lease stated in resolution 17-02-008, a copy included in your binder, until May the 10th, 2017. We received executed copies of the agreement, but not in time to properly advertise the items to appear on today's docket report. Staff is recommending the acreage be removed from Commerce and a one-month extension be granted until June 14, 2017 to confect the agreements and obtain final approval by the board.
All right, do we have any questions or discussion?
So you're just asking for this to come off for 1 month?
Yes, sir. We have the agreements in-house. They're signed. They came in late. We did not have the sufficient time to advertise them. Mm-hmm. We had less than 10 days, which is what statute requires. Therefore, we only need a month so that we can advertise them for next month's lease sale.
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation of item 2. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Cordero. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 3.
A request from Hunt Oil Company, Fieldwood Energy Offshore LLC, and Sandridge Energy Offshore LLC. To the State Mineral and Energy Board to authorize staff to negotiate the terms of an operating agreement with Hunt et al. Covering approximately 0.338 unleased state acres being identified as lots 16, 30, 35, and 39 situated within the L. Chris 1 RB SUA KF Stewart No. 1 well in Stella Field in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. Further, Hunt et al. Request that the acres be removed from Commerce and unavailable for leasing until June 14, 2017 board meeting or until an operating agreement is confected and approved by the board, whichever occurs first.
So is there action approved today? There's no recommendation?
We need authority to negotiate the operating agreement.
Okay. So any questions or discussion? Mr. Hike.
What terms is there an attempt to negotiate?
As a general rule, we start with a 0.5% royalty, and our staff usually checks on what the rental was, the previous rental, and what are the comparables in the area. We do that, and then.
But when you talk in terms of the operating agreement, you're talking in terms of specifically the payment terms.
We're talking but we're asking for authority to enter into those terms and then get your approval of them. Right now, it's just in the open.
Yeah, you're not talking about negotiating any other language in the operating agreement.
No, sir, just be the, this is board handling, just be the terms, Mr. Hunt. This is a tax adjudicated property that Hunt brought to us. They're in the process of leaving the state and are trying to clean up their books. And so basically they've come in and told us about these four tracts, and we're going to be negotiating a payment from them.
Okay, so when you're talking about terms, you're talking about payment terms.
Yes, sir.
You're not talking about changing any other portion of the document.
No, the way we do these operating agreements, they're a general agreement which has been approved by the board, and the only thing that we'll change are the
only thing you're negotiating is the payment.
The numbers that we negotiate.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to know.
That's correct.
That's what wanted to know.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Also, in addition to the authority to negotiate to take the acreage out of Commerce, is the request,
right.
The staff recommendation.
Right. Mr. Arnold?
I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation and request.
Second. Mr. Arnold makes a motion to approve staff's recommendation. I believe Secretary Harris seconds. Any public comment?
This would be till June 14th.
Right.
Take it out of Commerce.
Stated in there. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 4.
It's a report from staff to the State Mineral and Energy Board on the first tranche of the new lease form articles, reports, and public comments. The following articles were posted to our website on April the 13th, 2017, with staff's proposed language of the new lease form. The first group articles included the lease access, executory contract, counterparts, title disputes, severability, law and forum, venue, EEOC. Additionally, these articles were sent to the State Mineral and Energy Boards shortly after the April 12th board meeting, and a copy of same is in your binders. Interested parties in industry were noticed via email to respond with comments and or questions within 1 week prior to this meeting. This office received comments from Peck Hain and Cynthia Nicholson of the Gardner Ryder Law Firm dated May the 2nd, 2017. A copy of their comments are in your binder, as well as a copy of Mr. Thomas Smart of the Ona Bain Law Firm has also submitted comments dated May 2nd, 2017. No other written comments or questions were received. At this time, staff will address any comments and answer any questions the board may have. This is for informational purposes only, and if the board is satisfied with the articles as written, staff will move forward with the second tranche articles, reports, and public comments. And for informational purposes, if that is the desire of the board to move forward, the second tranche article would consist of the bonus, primary term, lessor's rights, lessee's reporting, conflict, indemnity, and hold harmless, notices, no warranty of title, financial security, force majeure, recitals, and signature.
All right. I guess maybe the way I'd like to handle this is that let's go through each article, and if the members have any questions or discussion, we can discuss them, and then we can discuss with any anyone else besides the board that has any discussion on each of those articles.
If you'd like, Jim, I can give a brief overview of the changes on each one, very brief.
However the board would like to. I've read them all. Some of them are fairly straightforward, but does anybody have any questions on?
First one is lease access.
Yeah, lease access. Let's say Article 11, lease access. As you saw, they had the existing lease language, the August draft language, and then the proposed rewrite, and then a clean version of the rewrite. I have a question on it. In the proposed rewrite in item A, you didn't feel like you needed to refer to the statute.
Right. We thought that it would help simplify the article, and it didn't add much to it meaning-wise.
And then I also had in item C, you talk about the lessor's right to sell, exchange, transfer, or otherwise the lease premises. Is that this section talks about access, but should that be in assignment or somewhere else in the lease? It talks about the lessor's right to dispose of any portion of the lease premises and all rights of the lease premises not expressly granted to lessee or necessarily implied by the lease.
Right. The intent there was to reiterate that right in light of this whole article, which talks about giving the lessor rights or access to the property.
Right. But doesn't that deal with the lessor's right to just sell or exchange the property? for the lease in, as the leased premises?
Well,
I don't have a problem with the way it's written. I'm just asking if should it be in that section of the lease on, because it deals with, actually it's an assignment or just.
It actually, Blake Canfield, Executive Counsel, Department of Natural Resources, if you read a little bit further, it talks about the retaining, the lessor retains the right to sell, exchange, transfer, or otherwise dispose.
Right.
Lease premises and all rights in the lease premises not expressly granted or to lessee. So, in other words, it's not the selling of these rights that are in the lease. It would be.
That's right. But it's selling the, it's selling the, of the premises. It says the leased premises. That would be if you, like, if you're an owner of a piece of property and you wanted to sell, but you wanted the lease to stay in effect.
So,
isn't that right?
For instance, we represent other agencies. We lease for them. This lease form would be used, and that agency would have the right to dispose of the property in some way,
right,
even though this lease is in effect, but it would be subject to it.
Right, I understand, but isn't this, doesn't this section deal with access to the lease premises? So wouldn't that be like an assignment, that in the lessor's right to assign their rights?
I don't see it as an assignment. I see it as being able to sell the property for, either to sell the property or use the property for some other purpose. So it would be in the, you know.
What lease access involves is surface use. And
okay.
Minerals obviously don't need the entire surface for access.
But some of this language deals with access to the premises too, right? Actual access.
It
to and from.
It's meant to.
Anyway, I'm
that,
just,
yeah.
Just bringing up.
This is Tommy Smart with Ahmed Law Firm. I think the assignment clause that you're referring to is more of the assignment of the rights in the lease by the lessee, and that's what it really deals with more than this is more retaining the rights of the lessor to access if the property gets
surface
that gets transferred. So it's two different.
All right.
They're related, but.
Right.
Anyone else?
Yes.
Mr. Hyde.
Mr. Divitt.
Yes, sir.
The proposed rewrite, is it, first of all, do you see any harm in putting the revised statute in this language?
No. Other than possible future change to that article.
That should be a consideration, that's for sure. I'm looking at the proposed changes to lease access in the memorandum of Ms. Nicholson. And am I correct, Mr. Smart, that you embrace that change?
Yes, I didn't author it, but I concurred, yes.
Is it any different from the proposed rewrite?
Yeah, Peck had suggested that the language be added to clarify that the access is through then existing roads and across the lease premises, and that was trying to reserve rights to the lessor. It's just trying to it's more cleanup, I think, than anything else.
And is there any there is change between what is being proposed by staff and this proposal in this memorandum? Is that correct?
Mr. Divitt? Yes, there is. There is a suggestion to change the word throughout to be through. We've met on these comments within the staff briefly, including yesterday afternoon, and we didn't have any problem with that suggestion. We thought that adding the phrase "then existing" didn't really help. We didn't see a need for that, and we didn't see a need for the phrase "across the leased premises."
So you're not recommending that change?
Not at this point. We really need to vet it in light of board comments.
And you really wouldn't have any objection to adding the statute?
Well, we had it in there, and we took it out because we found it to be superfluous. It doesn't really...
Well, what the legislature does may affect the ultimate... the ultimate way the lease will affect the state and the lessee. It seems to me that that should remain in there.
They could add another statute that's not...
Well, then you'd have to probably change the lease again.
I don't know. I mean, if a statute applies to a lease, it applies with whether the lease says it or not.
Unless the legislature amends its statute.
We would put things in here if we wanted to be accepted from a particular statute. And often in the mineral code, it says, if not addressed, here's what happens, but the parties can contract.
I just think that it would be clearer if the statute was there. I don't see any harm where the statute would do to either the state or the lessee. My concern is you want the lease to be in compliance with the wishes of the legislature. I would ask that.
We have no choice in complying with the legislature.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that, depending on what that statute says. So if that's the case, then there's no harm in putting the statute in this particular version.
Mr. Hike, may I offer just an observation on that? Just in dealing with regulation drafting and other things with other agencies, it's been our practice generally to say, leave out the specific statutory references, because if they do change or move, then it does require going back through this process again to make that minor change. And I think Mr. Devitt's correct that, I think you agree with that it's going to be, the lease is going to be subject to whatever the applicable law is anyway. So it's just an ease of not having to revisit it. I'm subject to that. You know, it's up to y'all why, you know, whether it goes in or not. But that's, in other experience, that's why we've left specific references out.
Okay, I understand that. Should we not put some language in there that what Mr. Divitt is talking about, the section in the Mineral Code which might say that whatever is not explicitly in the lease is covered?
If you look at your report that you have there, you have the August 2016 draft, and paragraph A has, I think, what you are talking about. And we, as a staff, we met and decided that didn't add anything and carried the risk that Ryan's talking about. So we took it out. But we did have it in there last year, sure.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Smart, can you explain to me again what the additions of those, the wordings in 11B is?
I think Peck's concern there was whether it might be implied that we might have to build additional roads or create canals or whatever, and that's why he thought that it should be just whatever was on the lease premises at the time we took the lease, and that's why he added that language.
And we specifically thought that we wanted to be able to use roads that were built after the lease date.
Well, specifically, if you are building a road to access a site, a drill site for a well that doesn't exist yet, a well you intend to drill, then we would want to be able to access that same road to get to the same drill site so we can inspect it to make sure that the lease is complied with. So that's why we left out the time element as far as when the road was constructed.
Mr. Chairman,
but I mean, if you have a lease premises and you are asking for the right to access it, whether the road's new or not, wouldn't you just state that by any means, whether it's a road, a waterway?
That's the way we have it worded.
Amazon drone.
And that was just some suggested cleanup. I was concerned mainly about one other provision that we'll get to.
I think the two lessor clause, or that's the one that gives us the most pause. We thought that would add a limitation that was not acceptable to us, because we wanted to reserve rights that may not belong to the state. For instance, they may belong to another lessee, as we were talking about before. We may lease the surface for, let's say, a campsite or something like that, or to the public, which would not be the state. So we thought that phrase unnecessarily limited the rights that could be exercised.
Mr. Chairman, am I in order for a motion? In fact, I'm going to make a motion for previous question.
You want to make a motion about what?
I'm going to make a motion for previous question on this particular article so that we can move on.
A previous question? What do you mean?
In debate.
Okay. You want to end the debate by calling the question?
That's right.
Okay.
So move.
Okay. Mr. Hyde calls the question. So do I have a second? I guess. Mr. Cadero seconds.
A question about a motion?
Yeah.
If we approve this motion, is not a debatable motion. You just vote on it, whether or not you want to continue debating the issue or not.
Right.
So the motion does nothing but stop.
Once you call a question, you can't have any discussion.
That is debate.
Okay.
I mean, if it passes.
And to clarify, you're calling a question only
on this article.
On Article 11.
Only on this article.
Right. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Motion by Mr. Hyde, second by Mr. Cadero. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I now make a motion that we adopt the proposed rewrite clean version that we've been discussing.
Article 11.
Yes.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Hyde to accept the proposed rewrite clean version in principle of Article 11, and a second by Mr. Arnold. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?